Good morning, True Identity Fellowship. We want to start off this service with some good worship. We know that God is great and mighty, and we want you to be able to feel this song on this morning. He's such an awesome God. I believe today is August the 31st. It's the last day of August. Praise God. We thank God for putting us on the wake-up list on this morning. And so we'll enjoy this praise and worship by the praise and worship team as they come forth with this awesome selection. We thank God for it. Amen. Why don't y'all worship with us this morning? Amen.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. How wonderful is your name. I feel the glory of God right there. Jesus, how wonderful is your name.
great and mighty. How wonderful is your name.
You say, you are great and mighty.
Oh, yeah. Great and mighty.
How wonderful is your name. So, when I was growing up, my mom, she would walk me to the bus stop. That we would hold hands. I still hold my mom's hand. And she would always sing to the Lord. And so a lot of songs, when I sing them, most of the time, I'm singing to him, not them. So how I respond to what I'm saying, it becomes personal. So you may not know God to be great and mighty. And I pray after listening to this or seeing this that you will know him to be great and mighty. You may not know him to be a healer or a way maker. But here's the thing. Don't judge anyone else's praise. So we're going to raise up that God has been faithful one more time. And then we're going to get out of this song. But I feel the glory of God right here. And so you say, you may say, I have not experienced God's faithfulness yet. So if you haven't experienced it yet, that means you're prophesying. But for those of us who've already experienced it, that means you're testifying. So you got two options when we raise up faithful and healer. Either you're prophesying or you're testifying. I don't know which one you are, but both of them work very well. Say, you are faithful.
You are faithful.
Either you're prophesying
faithful,
or you're testifying.
How wonderful is your name.
Say, you are healer.
You are healer.
Either prophesying
healer,
or testifying.
How wonderful.
I feel that.
Hallelujah. We thank God for that selection on this morning. We're not going to prolong the time. Praise God. And since we're coming online this morning, if you want to give into the ministry, you already know how to do that. You can go online and send it through the online one-time giving, however you want to do it. We don't harp on finances, but we that's your personal relationship with God. Purpose, what's purpose in your heart to give? If you will get your Bible, we'll turn to Micah chapter 6, verse 8. We'll use that to establish a text of what we're going to talk about this morning, talking about humbleness. That's a big thing, and you can read about it in the Bible. We got some supportive scriptures to go along with that. Some examples. We always try to support what we talk about because it's not our own words, but it's the words of God. So Micah chapter 6, verse 8 is the text scripture. And of course, we'll share other scriptures to support Micah 6 and 8. And it reads, he have showed thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Father, we thank you and we praise you right now, God, for your word, God. We understand, God, to walk with you, God, to be humble with you, God, that if we humble ourselves before your mighty hand in due season, that we shall be exalted, God. But we pray for everyone that's under the sound of my voice even now. We pray for those that might be sick in their bodies and going through, God. You already know what we're in need of before we ask, God. We thank you, God, for your hedge of protection all around about us, God. Our comings and our goings, God. We just thank you and we praise you for the provision that you make. And even, God, the seeds that we're going to sow into the ministry on today, God. We thank you for this 31st day of August 2025. This is the day that you have made and we'll rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for being a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our very pathway. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to start this message off with the definition of humble, which derives from the word humility out of the dictionary. One, humble, not proud or arrogant, modest. And number two, low in importance, status, or condition, lowly. Now, the best scripture I found concerning being humble is in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 13. Let's support Micah 6 and 8 with this Philippians 2, 3 through 13. And I give you a chance to turn there to follow along if you so desire. I'm going to read it, those scriptures that I named 3 through 13 in its entirety. And so if you don't have your Bible handy, we are online. We are live online. And so we will read these scriptures. Verse 3 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem each other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also have highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and the things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I thought about how people in general want to start at the top, but never accept the bottom. We have to start at the bottom in order to be prepared for the top. It's a process that even Jesus had to go through. Think about it, people of God. We didn't hear any account of Jesus from the birth up until 30 years of age, except at age 12 in Luke chapter 2, 41 through 52. Of course, we heard about the birth. We heard about the guys coming, the elders coming and bringing gifts and all that, that it wasn't room for him in the inn. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes and all that kind of stuff like that. We heard about it then. That was at his birth. But we didn't hear nothing else concerning the 30 years except when he was 12 years old. And we find it in Luke chapter 2, verses 41. Now, let's not get it twisted. The whole entire Bible is about Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's get that clear and straight, that everything in the Bible points to Jesus. His name is above every name. Yes. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. That's a true statement from Genesis all the way through Revelations, and all the ones that want to argue about the Bible, the Maccabees, and all the kind of the books that wasn't in there, and all these kind of things. But let's get this clear. Let's clarify this. There were some things that Jesus did that the Bible says that they couldn't even, the books couldn't even contain. What, and then not to mention that he couldn't even get down in his own hometown. In other words, he couldn't perform the miracles in his own hometown because of how they looked, and they thought they was familiar with it.
Yeah.
But here it is in Luke chapter 2, verse 41 through 52. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of Passover. This was a customary thing. This was a traditional thing that every year they went to Jerusalem to the Feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk. And of course, that's why I like to use that word kinfolk, man. It's in the Bible. They thought he was kicking it with his kinfolk, with his cousin. He was walking with them, but they didn't realize he tarried back in Jerusalem, huh? And then it says, and when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found, look at the significance of this. And 3 days later, he rose up. Yes. 3 days later, but it says, and it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in a temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto them, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom. Oh, man, that's a good thing. He increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God. Yeah. Amen. What business was Jesus talking about?
Yes, sir.
He was talking about he was sent to do. He was preparing. And there you have proof that he was about his father's business. It was his father's business made him sweat great drops of blood. Ooh, his father's business to be whipped. Jesus. His father's business pricked his temple with a crown of thorns. His father's business made him mock and be spat upon. Jesus. His father's business made him go about burning the cross, nails in his hands and feet. His father's business made him despise the shame when naked he hung upon the tree. His father's business made him yield himself to death, though he needed not to die. If so, he had not pleased. His father's business made him tread the gloomy shades of Guyana or you talking about hell, you talking about Hades, and descended in the bowels of death. His father's business made him preach to the spirits in prison. His father's business took him up to heaven, where he sitteth on the right hand of God doing his father's business still. His father's business makes him plead guilty, plead day and night for Zion. The same business shall make him come as the judge of the quick and the dead, to divide the sheep from the goats. The same business shall make him gather together in one all people who dwell on the face of the earth.
My God.
Have you ever thought about what Jesus was doing before his ministry began? I'm glad you asked, people of God. Hebrews 5, 7 through 9 says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears. He was mixing this crying. He would cry. Sometimes when you pray, you got to mix your tears with your cry. Yeah. It was strong crying. They say he offered up prayers and supplication. Make your supplication made known unto God. It says he made his supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard and that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey. That's what he was doing. That's what he was doing, getting prepared to do his father's business. There is a theme in the scriptures, and I've shared so far, that obedience, of obedience. Can you imagine the things Jesus went through as a child so full of wisdom? He was different than the other children, made fun of because he was the carpenter's son. God in the flesh, yet was still humble, knew more than his parents, but still humble. Man, think about that. We're talking about a humble walk with God. And we got the greatest example, the greatest sacrifice. What greater love than a man lay down his life for his friend? Somebody that said that not my will, that your will be done in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says, nevertheless, let your will be.
Yes.
Everywhere he went, he did what his father told him to do. Every word he said it because his father told him to say it. And if I could underscore this theme, I'd like to make mention that there is a promotion through humbleness.
My God.
Through your humbleness. In the text, in Micah 6 and 8, three things that we should know. Actually, three requirements. One, do justly. Number two, to love mercy. That's a good one. I want to cherry on this one a little bit. to love mercy, because we have a tendency to want it, but we have a hard time giving it. That goes along with humbleness. That's a requirement. It's connected to humbleness, because we don't want to give nobody else no mercy. We tough on folk. We won't forgive folk. But God said that his mercies are new every morning. Look, it's tied to humble. He say, be ye holy, for I am holy. He wants us to be like, if we was created in his image and his likeness, we want to do unto others as we would have them to do unto us. You remember the man that he holded a debt, and the master forgave him, but then somebody owed him a little chain, and he wanted to choke the man Adam apples out of his neck. Huh? He didn't have much mercy. He surely didn't. But number one, to do justly. Number two, to love mercy. And number three, to walk humble with thy God. When you commit spiritually to God, those that worship him in spirit and in truth, it has to be internal heart. Then the right behavior will reflect externally. In these requirements, we must understand that God is letting us know how to get from the bottom to the top. When I say from the bottom to the top, I'm talking about earth to heaven. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 4, you'll find the disciples were arguing about who was the greatest. Everybody wants to be important. And when they feel like they've been passed over, not being recognized, then they start feeling some type of way. Jesus let them know how to get from the bottom to the top. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Ooh, I just got a revelation that I want to share with you. Y'all remember when Saul was after David, and the Bible says that he went over there and he started kicking it with the outlaws. He went and hung around some tough guys. And with his leadership ability, he was really telling them guys they were falling after him. They knew that he was the next king in line. And Saul had already been hating on him because of the standing ovation that they gave him when he came back in the city and the promises that was made to him. And he seen him. You remember, even Saul tried to throw a javelin across the room and try to stick the man in there. It's all kinds of, he had a hit out on David. And David, you know how it is. The little boys, they could just pull up anywhere and find a tree and all that. The girls don't really want to do that out in the open. But in my mind and in my logic, I think that David had to do nothing. You know, we got number one, number two. Let's keep it clean. I don't think he had to do the number one. I really think that he had to do the number two. And this was Saul. This was Saul because they were looking for David. But David knew that they was after him, and David and his men, them outlaws he was hanging around with, was hanging out in a cave. Y'all listen to me. And while they was in the cave, Saul came in here and dropped out. Well, he was doing the number two. That's what I think. The Bible doesn't say that, but why would he go in the cave to use the rest to relieve himself? The Bible says that David was so close up on Saul, he could have murdered him right then. Mm-hmm. Y'all ain't gonna say nothing to me. Sir. He could have murdered him right then, mm-hmm. but he cut off a piece of his cloak that he had on, his attire that he had on, and he cut a little piece out. Man, I could have got you, but I'm not gonna bring myself to the top. I'm still at the bottom, and I know that God gonna take me to the top. Yes. So you got to wait on your time. He humbled himself. He said, man, I can't touch God's anointing because yes. that ain't the way you get to the top. I'm gonna let God exalt me in due season. And that's what David did. And what he did was he killed somebody that killed Saul. What you do that for?
Yes.
So you could be the king? No, man, that ain't how it go, man. You touch not God's anointing, man. You don't do that. I could have got it myself. But I didn't harm him, even though he was out to kill me. He went from the bottom to the top. And then Jesus, in verse 1, he says, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him. Man, Jesus was awesome, man. In his teachings, he called a little child up to him and said, set him in the midst of them. And he set him in the midst of them. And he said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the heaven. And that's a blessing for the simple fact he wanted to let them know, because usually when you get of age, you think you know everything. You just talk to some of your teenage kids and stuff like that. They think they know everything. And even up in adulthood, you can't be wrong. You know every answer. You know everything. You always raising your hand. You always giving people advice. You know everything under the sun. But he's saying, I want you to humble yourself as a little child, because a little child asks questions. Who is that? Why we turn here? What color is that? Why you look like that? What's wrong with your nose? What's that? The little child is so humble. They don't mean no. They just be learning and they ready to soak up the knowledge that they're inquiring about. Are you with me now? It says, and one of the most important requirements is found in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 39. I'm getting y'all some good scriptures. Mm-hmm. Matthew 22, verse 37 through 39. It says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Often the believer can routinely go to church, Bible studies, lift up their hands, sing their song, but still lack the spiritual commitment to walk humbly with God. How can two walk unless they agree? Mm. There is no possible way to walk humbly with God if you are independent of him. Jesus told us that if you connect with me, I'll show you how to be humble. He told us in Matthew 11, 28 and 30, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. In other words, be disciple like the little children he was talking about. Learn of me means the discipleship. For I am meek and lowly in heart. I'm meek and lowly in heart myself. I'm humble myself. Who other person that you know can give you the humbleness that you need? Let me pour into you. Quit being independent. Quit thinking you know everything. And set up under this good teaching and listen and learn. That's what Jesus was telling. And he says, and you shall find rest unto your soul, because you'll know how to deal with all situations, because I'm teaching you how to be humble before the mighty hand of God. And then he says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Our walk with God is a progressive thing.
Yes.
Humbleness is a state of maturing in God. You can be saved and still not mature. You can be anointed and still be immature. Our humble walk is predicated by us being obedient to God. Jesus never did anything on his own accord. He consulted the Father in everything that he did. In conclusion, all I know is there is a promotion in being humble. Jesus received a promotion because he was humble. Obedient, even unto death. And 1 Peter 5 and 6 says, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and in due season he shall exalt thee. Sounds like a promotion to me. Let us play some praise and worship while we finish up. Joseph received a promotion. Moses received a promotion. Elijah received a promotion because he knew how to follow. Job received a promotion. Got double for his trouble. Ruth got a promotion.
Yes.
Noah got a promotion. Yes. People of God, how many people want a promotion from God?
Thank you, Lord.
Then walk in humbleness. Yes, we are going to suffer. But remember the encouraging words he gave to us. Be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. I reckon that the sufferings of this present world,
yes,
cannot compare to the glory that shall be revealed, yes, in us. Sounds like a promotion to me. In closing, Ecclesiastes 12 and 13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Yes. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. God bless you and God keep you is my prayer. Let us worship. Go. My life. Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, for your word on today, God. We pray, God, that the receptive heart and the ready mind and the ear to hear what you have said to us today about humbleness, God. We thank you for the release, God, that comes along with it, God. And so, God, we thank you for giving us the opportunity, God, that burdens are being lifted, God. Chains are being broken, God, because of your word. The inches of that word, it give it life. And so, God, we pray that everyone, God, under the sound of my voice listening in on this morning, that they will have a great day, God, because you gave us the opportunity to experience and be recipients of your blessings, God. That we lean and depend on you in every way, God. And so, God, we just thank you for this day that you have made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it, God. We give you honor, we give you glory, and we give you praise. And we pray for those as they go back and forth or wherever they're going, running arrows today, that you encamp your angels around about it. Don't let no hurt, harm, or danger befall upon them. Touch those that might be afflicted in their bodies, God. We lift up our sister Carolyn. We lift up our sister Carolyn Boone, Carolyn Patterson. We lift up all those, Sister May. We lift them all up, God, that's going through in their bodies. And even myself, God, I'm not feeling well this morning, but God, I got to go about my Father's business. God, this word must go out, God, because it never returned to you void, but it accomplished what it was sent out to do, God. We give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. Glory.
To Jesus now, I'm holding nothing back.
Yes.
I surrender. Thank you, Lord. I surrender.
I surrender.
Have your way, God. Yes, Lord.
Pouring out my life gracefully.
Y'all have a blessed day, people of God.